March 28th. Do asteroids have moons? Stay with us.
Stardate is presented every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate March 28th. We've thought of asteroids as solitary boulders that orbit the sun. Oh, sure, some are larger than others, up to several hundred miles across. But now some astronomers are saying that asteroids have moons. That's something we simply hadn't considered before. That some not-so-solitary asteroids may travel through space with companions. The question of double asteroids is extremely controversial. Some astronomers believe there's good evidence for asteroid moons, and some don't believe the evidence. Most of this evidence comes during occultations of stars by asteroids. Those are events when asteroids pass in front of stars along our line of sight. During an occultation, we see the star's light wink out as the asteroid blocks it from view. In the past decade, to everyone's surprise, some stars have winked out twice, maybe once because they're blocked by an asteroid moon. And there's still more evidence. Many asteroids vary in brightness because they're tumbling in their journey around the sun. Others vary because they're marked with light and dark patches. Now it's thought that some brightness variations may stem from moons that periodically wheel in front of the asteroids along our line of sight. Still, not everyone believes the evidence for asteroid moons, but luckily we're about to get a surefire method for proving whether the evidence is true. When the space telescope goes up in the next few years, we can point it toward the asteroids and actually take a look. Stardate is written by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. I thank you so much for being with me. I'm Joel Block. Blind Date, March 28th. A question of semantics. Asteroid or moon? Stay with us.
Blind Date is presented every week at 12:02 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Romantics have long debated correct language usage. Many blind daters still have an element of couth, while for others, crass is the main rule of thumb. Our friend Copernicus was a case in point. He was known to be somewhat, shall we say, casual with females of the species, but one blind date was not casual. In fact, she was downright polite. Now, Copernicus knew that he had to treat her in kind, and that maybe he'd get lucky in the end. The end, or derriere, or posterior, was the subject of Copernicus's problems. The couple started on a conversation about anatomy, and he wanted to make a point about his rump, and couldn't decide whether to call it his moon or his asteroid. Well, we'll let you be the judge of that. Incidentally, Copernicus was heard to say, "I don't mean to brag, but when I'm walking on the nude beach, I leave a line between my footprints." Well, that's our story for today. Blind Date is written and produced each and every week by Deborah Canary for the Burger King Observatory at the University of New York at Stony Brook, zip 11794. We welcome your questions on Blind Date Etiquette. Thanks for your company. I'm H&R Block.
Well, very good evening to all of you out there. And there goes... We're on the air.
Yes.
Radio Free Long Island is back, and 4 minutes after 12 o'clock.
Back since last week.
I'm Eric Corley, and...
I'm Mike Uhas.
What are we going to do tonight, Mike?
We got all sorts of things planned.
Oh, we got a stack load of stuff for you.
Yes.
A whole stack load.
A whole ship load.
Yes, and all sorts of things have happened this week. We're going to be reviewing them and looking forward to the next week ahead.
Yeah.
And talking to all sorts of Long Islanders out there tonight. We're going to talk to a whole bunch of them. So why don't you just stay right where you are and don't move, huh?
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Also, Sprach Zarathustra, excuse me, Diodato himself.
Of course.
13 minutes after 12 o'clock and radio
in the morning.
Free Long Island.
On this fine Saturday morning.
Yes.
The 28th of March.
This has been a historical week for Long Island.
Oh, yes.
You know why, Mike, as well as...
The bottle bill.
The bottle bill has passed. At least it's passed the legislature. Right now, all it's waiting for is the signature of the county executive. Is that
Peter Culhellan.
Peter Culhellan.
Peter Fox Culhellan, who we were going to call up at home and wake him up for you, but we're not going to do that after all.
No, no, that's not, you know, within our...
We really were.
We don't do things like that too much anymore, only when not warranted. But we do want to know how you feel about the bottle bill.
We do?
Well, we intend to find out one way or the other.
What's the one way?
Well, either people call us or we call them.
What's the other?
That is. Those are two hidden in one. You didn't
well, why don't
that.
We do the other then?
Which one is that?
Call them.
Okay, do I just call one place?
Or? Sure. Who are you going to call now?
Well, I can't give names out over the air because...
Well, why don't you call a convenience food store?
Okay, yeah, let me move all these apparatus-type things out of the way. Okay, I think we're all set now.
Are we?
Wait
a minute now. That microphone over there, is that going to work on that?
No, that microphone won't work. This one will.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you keep talking to the folks. I'll call the number, and we'll have a person, a Long Islander, on the line in a matter of seconds.
Scant moments, of course. Well, how are you? I'm fine. Good. Well, Eric's in the corner there, busily dialing away. He can't get a dial tone. What's that look of amazement on his... Why don't you try dialing the first one on there? Which is exactly what he's going to do. Well, it was interesting to note that the bottle bill went through, and now you're going to have to bring that down, right?
Okay. Yes, good evening, sir. We're calling from Radio Free Long Island, a radio program coming from WUSB in Stony Brook. We'd like to talk to you because you're a native Long Islander, I believe. Is that right? Okay, we'd like to ask you a question about the bottle bill that was just passed in Suffolk County. What are your feelings on it?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's good as far as cleaning up the environment. It's going to cause a lot of problems. It's going to be a lot more money for the consumer. They're going to have to pay the deposit on it. They're going to have to pay more tax on it. And I don't know if it's really worth the investment.
Yeah. Well, Eric, ask him another question, eh?
Go ahead. Well, I think he's expressed his opinion on it for rather well.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Well, thank you for telling me how we were going to operate this, Eric. It's a good thing this isn't video. Oh, this is just a shriek of embarrassment going over my face. I'm turning red, I really am, aren't I?
You're turning Japanese.
Well, not this time of night.
Okay, well, that's the viewpoint from one Long Islander. It's a little good, it's a little bad. I think that's what a lot of people are going to say. As soon as we get our stuff together here, we'll have a more accurate type of polling system.
Well, why don't we...
That one out so we don't call him again.
There's a pen.
Got one already.
Why don't you mark down his feelings so we can keep a running tally of people's feelings?
Okay, that's a good idea. Let me do that. Well, we have an addition to more Long Islanders we're going to be contacting regarding that. We're going to be discussing what happened out in California this week with Carol Burnett and the National Enquirer.
Oh, boy.
Interesting little things going on down there.
Media hype.
We have the soundtrack to Week of the Whale. A little bit of
that's
it came in this
right.
week.
Harvey Hunter got us an advance copy on one of the singles.
Armed guards. It was amazing. One of those trucks that you see going to the banks with the
they
wire
pulled up
mesh
to the building
it.
Here, and
they
pulled
up to the building, and it was kind of funny. A guy walked out with two guys around him, heavily armed, with a little tape.
Yeah,
a little reel-to-reel 7-inch tape of the soundtrack to Week of the Whale,
right.
Which is supposed to come out, I understand, in mid-April.
Right,
but we have an advanced copy here at Radio Free Long Island. We'll be playing a little bit of it later on. We also have the first episode of The Tripod Family.
Right, and which will be a continuing saga.
I'm very happy that Radio Free Long Island has obtained that series.
Now, that was through coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farm.
Yes, okay. It was. We managed to work out a deal with them. It looks like we'll be able to keep the series going for a while.
Whatever happened to Sid Schreiber now? He was, last we knew, he was taken away to jail.
Yes, and I think that's the last thing we bothered to,
Did anybody go down to bail the poor guy out?
Yeah, I haven't... thought you were going to do that.
Oh, geez, you know, I hadn't even thought of it, till now.
Well, why ruin a perfectly good night with, Sidney Schreiber, huh?
Bye, Eric.
Bye, Larry.
Go meet Roseanne.
Larry Braveman's going to meet Roseanne.
Say hi to Roseanne for all of us, okay?
Forget about her husband, Rodney. Sounds too busy.
Well, who's that?
Hi, Larry. Larry Braveman on the phone there. Why don't you answer that?
On his way out of here.
Is that Roseanne?
No, it's not Roseanne. Doesn't sound like Roseanne. Okay, we're going to be getting to a lot more stuff in just a few minutes. Stay with us. Radio Free Long Island, 19 after 12, USB FM.
Is a message from your local defense department. I'd like to address myself to all of the citizens of this fine country of ours. America, we need defense. We need it bad. Remember,
A strong defense makes sense. And right now, our defense is in an awful state. Why? Because not enough of you people care enough to support it. Why, I'll bet there are a good many of you out there right now who have not given us control of your savings accounts yet, or arranged to have your paychecks mailed directly to us to save time. We need your money. We need more than UNICEF or Public Television or Amnesty International or any of those other faggots. We give you something they don't. We give you security. Protection against aggression. We have more nuclear warheads, B-52s, and submarines than we can count. And they're all there to protect you. When those Russians come marching over the hills, we're going to have enough ammunition to blow them to the moon. But that's not enough. We want to send them to Mars, and we want to have enough left over for the Chinese. And don't forget those Iranians. Now, there are a lot of communists and homosexuals out there who say they don't like the Defense Department. They say they don't trust us. Well, let me tell you something. This is a free country, and the only way it's going to stay free is if we lock people like that up so they can't do any harm. It's people like that who say that it was wrong to go into Vietnam. Poppycock. A lot of good things came out of that. The Boys in Company C, Coming Home, and The Deer Hunter. Three of the most popular movies of the 1970s, all about Vietnam. And if these subversives had had their way, you wouldn't have been able to enjoy them. That's the way those pinkos operate. First they take away your entertainment, then they'll take away McDonald's. We know that good, wholesome Americans don't want that. So if you send us a little extra money, we'll try to put some of those commies on a rocket ship and send them to Neptune or something. See how they like that. In the meantime, keep on sending us money for our day-to-day operations. If everybody would just cut back and have one meal a day, they'd be able to save up more money to send us. Now, if we get enough by the end of the year, we'll be able to show the Deer Hunter on every plane we send to El Salvador. Just our way of saying thanks.
To the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill. But your love won't pay my bills. I want money. Everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money.
Money. not appear between the speakers in a correctly tuned system.
What do you say we talk over this?
Yeah, why not?
Well, okay. We're not talking.
It's the kind of music you talk over, though.
Yeah.
Sort of light and passionate.
What's the sense of this?
Well, money means a lot of things to a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's the Defense Department or Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett
just won $1.6
million. $1,600,000.
A lot of bucks from the National
Enquirer. Even for me.
Even for you. According to the Associated Press, the amount of money she won is more than that paper makes in an entire year.
Uh-huh.
So it's the guys at National Enquirer aren't taking this lightly at all. Ms. Burnett won the case last night. You know what the story was that caused all this fuss?
I know what it is.
What was it?
Well, apparently she was... Well, no, I shouldn't say that.
All right, don't say it. Hear the exact words. At a Washington restaurant, a boisterous Carol Burnett had a loud argument with another diner, Henry Kissinger. She traipsed around the place offering everyone a bite of her dessert, but Carol really raised eyebrows when she accidentally knocked a glass of wine over one diner and started giggling instead of apologizing. Sounds like something you do, Mike. The guy wasn't amused and accidentally, quote-unquote, spilled a glass of water over Carol's dress. Now, the thing is that, according to everybody involved in this, the National Enquirer printed that, knowing that it didn't happen. And I'm just wondering why they... What made them make up Carol Burnett and Henry Kissinger, of all people? I can't think of...
Reminds me of a dirty joke, but I don't know. It's really beyond me. I never read that paper, actually.
You don't?
But I have a copy in front of me now.
He went out to the store and then bought a copy today, just out of curiosity, isn't that right?
Well, I'm sharing the cost with 10 other people, so I ended up paying just a pittance.
Okay.
It's like going to charity or falling through my pocket or something like that.
Well, it is an interesting paper, I'll say. You can read quite a few. I remember when I was a kid, I used to see this paper in the stores. It was black and white then, not color like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get all over your fingers.
Is it getting on your fingers?
Yes, and my fingers turned all brown. It had stories about really weird things, disgusting type things, like people eating little children and boiling them in a spaghetti thing. They stopped doing that because I guess the demand wore out for that type of story, and instead we...
I just ate my child with spaghetti.
That's exactly the type of headline they would have.
Right.
In the National Enquirer of, say, 15 years ago. Now it's just a gossip magazine, and there are lots of gossip magazines.
Basically.
Your Midnight Globe and all sorts of other things.
Oh, there's a whole slew of them.
Well, do you have anything good in front of you? You'd like to pass along to the people?
Well, it says here, Liz Taylor's seventh marriage crumbling.
Really?
She and hubby in raging public fights.
Public fights, huh?
Yeah. That's what it says.
Anything,
am I allowed to read from this?
As long as you
attribute the source?
Yes.
Well, this is from page 24. Liz Taylor, bored to death... Liz Taylor, bored to death with her role as a senator's wife, is flying back to the arms of her first love, show business. And meanwhile, her marriage to 54-year-old U.S. Senator John Warner of Virginia is crumbling around her, insiders say. The ingredients of a divorce, and a bitter one at that, are all there, says a friend of the 49-year-old Taylor. It's interesting that each paragraph that you read, the print gets smaller and smaller. Is it true on your half there, too?
The print gets smaller? It seems to.
Check this out.
I can't understand that.
Where? Right there.
Oh, well, at the top, yes. At least four different sizes of print there.
Yes.
I was looking at the
Some of the cartoons are good. Yeah.
They have cartoons in there?
Yeah.
The National Enquirer has cartoons. That must be interesting. You want to read one to us?
Wow, she has some cleavage. Jiggers, look at that picture. Phew.
Would you just read the cartoon?
Well, there's no caption to the cartoon. Oh, here's one. Incurably ill housewife wins 5-year fight to live with dignity.
Hmm. You gamble $25 to become a millionaire? Very interesting.
From $4,000 a week to life in a covered wagon.
Weekend well driller. Save $1,000 or more. For less than $1 per foot, you can drill a water well in your backyard next weekend. Have all the pure, fresh water you want free. And this drill drills water wells 50 to 200 feet deep. Easy to operate as a power lawnmower. Mower.
Stop worrying forever.
Forever, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How about tips to make a small room appear larger?
How about get rid of roaches forever?
Forever, huh?
Forever. And do you think through the controversy of this...
Sorry. Whatever happened to Cast of Hazel? Huh? Now, that's something we've been waiting for.
Here's
Bobby Buntrock, the youngster who played Harold Baxter
You remember him?
On the long-running
Hazel.
You remember
Mr. B? Mr. B.
I never watched the show myself, but I know people out there really care about this stuff.
I used to.
Anyway, Bobby, he died in a car crash in 1974, but the other members of the cast didn't know it until they were told by the Enquirer.
Uh-huh.
I'm shocked, said Julia Benjamin, who played young Susie Baxter in the series. I can't believe it. When we were doing the show, we were like brother and sister. I had no idea this had happened. Bob Buntrock, the actor's 65-year-old father, explained how his son died. Bobby's car turned over and he drowned in the creek. It was a freak accident. He was only 21. I was so shook up that I never informed anyone in the cast about Bobby's death. None of them were at the funeral and no flowers were sent, so obviously they didn't know.
You ought to attribute the source. What's that from, page 61?
That's from page... Well, we don't have to say the page number, just it's from the National Enquirer.
No, I'd rather just say the page number.
Anyway, despite the popularity of Hazel, none of the members of the cast ever did another TV series.
Uh-huh.
So,
who played Hazel again?
Hazel, Shirley Booth.
Shirley Booth, of course.
Well, she's done other things.
Yeah.
She retired 4 years ago after a long, distinguished career in the theater, the movies, and on TV.
Well, then there's a lie right in the story. Didn't it just say that despite...
Okay, let me see if I can find that line. Hold on.
It says here $3 million
spent. Despite the popularity of Hazel, none of the members of the cast ever did another TV series. Like, maybe she didn't do a TV series.
But she's done other things.
Okay, but that implied that they never did anything else.
Well, it depends on how you read it.
Shirley Booth was in one of those children's Christmas specials, you know, with the marionette-type things.
She a marionette?
I think it was The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Was she all strung up?
Her voice was there, but she wasn't obviously the marionette. It says here she's appeared on... this is Lynn Borden, who plays George Baxter's brother's wife. It actually says that in the series... and she was divorced shortly after Hazel ended. She took a 2-year vacation from acting, and since then she's appeared in 14 movies and several TV shows, including Fantasy Island, Police Story, McMillan and Wife, Starsky and Hutch, and the miniseries Centennial. Not to be confused with the Bicentennial Minutes. I consider myself a working actress, Lynn said. And here's the end of the article. These days, there are a lot of us who aren't working.
Whoa.
Excuse me.
She was in the series Centennial?
Yes, she was.
But doesn't it say that nobody went on to other television series?
The miniseries. Okay.
Okay, it's different.
They get out of these things very easily.
Here's one.
Oh, there's also, there's a little word of advice.
I'm going to walk out of here.
There's a little word of advice that we have to pass along to the people.
What is it? Oh, wait a minute. I know what it is. It's
word.
That's a little word of advice.
On the road from thought to action, words are the traffic congestion.
Now, isn't that thought for food? What I wanted to say here was, do you think that through all this controversy that the National Enquirer, their circulation has gone up or will go up or down? Well, geez, I mean, we bought a copy.
You just bought a copy, so I,
it must be going up. So
I would have said that it would go down, but seeing as how people like us,
you're reading the ads here. Here's a couple of interesting ones: natural prostate relief, burial expense $500 to $5,000. No more flat tires. Here's one for you, Eric.
That's not funny. Could have been killed.
You could have been killed when you went out to your car and there was a flat tire on it, right?
Yes, I could have been.
Okay, sure. Can you tell us how? Well, enough of this stupid thing.
You ripped it on the air, huh?
I did. All right, right through the color picture of Brooke Shields.
Well, that's Suzanne Summers' torment. Her marriage is on the rocks and she's treated like outcast on Three's Company.
Huh. Lovely
I can't
Shields.
Find any logical reason for their behavior. I have had John Ritter to my house for dinner and Joyce DeWitt. I had them to my wedding. I cried when John's baby was born. I gave him a baby shower. They were my friends. Mm-hmm. And when I come in, I come to the back door, and they have members of the production company guarding the hall so I don't run into anyone.
That sounds like something Harvey Hunter would do.
Yeah.
Is there any articles on Harvey Hunter in here?
I didn't see
That's
any.
Probably the one important thing that they missed.
But no, Suzanne Summer is furious over the way she's being treated. She says they are going to make this example of me. I don't know what that means, but I feel they can't abuse me like this, she said.
Right.
I haven't done anything wrong. It is my American right to say, hey, I would like a raise or I would like a piece of the pie. Huh?
Uh-huh.
If I have to take on the network and the entire industry, I will, and I will go all the way with it. Suzanne Summers, National Enquirer. I rest my case.
Says here. Lovely Brooke Shields shocked everyone at a big Hollywood awards bash with her new frizzy hairdo. Her pals thinks Brooke's looks like she stuck her finger in a wall socket, and even Brooke is having second thoughts about it. Zap.
I'll say.
Well. Oh, here's another one. The bizarre tragedy behind Dragnet star's secret wedding. Remember Jack Webb,
yes.
Sergeant Friday?
Whose secret wedding was that?
His.
Oh.
In a plot as bizarre as any Dragnet script, ex-TV cop Jack Webb secretly wed his 61-year-old bookkeeper while her heartbroken former husband of 36 years lay dying from a deliberate overdose of a potent painkiller.
This is amazing.
The forsaken ex-husband, Virgil Gates, 64, died last January 2, just 3 days after the woman he still loved became Mrs. Opal Webb. The coroner's office ruled the tragic death a suicide.
Interesting.
It seems so heartless of them to marry while he was dying in a hospital, a close friend of the Gateses bitterly complained. I'm disgusted. Why didn't they have the decency to wait to see if he'd recover or wait a respectable period after time after he died? I boiled my baby too, lady.
Jack Webb, huh?
Yeah.
Makes you
remember
think,
him,
doesn't it?
He was like head of the moral majority, if there wasn't one of them back then. See,
you know, can you imagine if there was a gossip magazine for regular people? I mean, just...
Like
you know, the guy down the block or something, if they printed all these nonsensical things that, you know, no one knows if it's true or not, I think how interesting it would make life, you know.
Well, that's what Radio Free Long Island's all about.
Okay, we can start a gossip column on this program.
The gossip column of the air. Send in your juicy gossip to Radio Free Long Island, care of WUSB, State University of New York at Stony Brook, and our zip is 11794. And don't address it to the Burger King Observatory, because they get their mail down there and we don't get it up here.
True. Up there. No, they're at the observatory. They're up higher than we are.
Not always.
Well, it depends.
Why don't we call somebody else?
Okay, well, we're talking about the bottle bill, at least we were before. We want to find out some Long Islanders' reactions, and I guess we're going to call up another one.
Okay.
Let me dial the number.
You're supposed to make something up, yes. This is always rather awkward for me to do.
I can come back and do this, too, because I can dial and talk at the same time. It's not so hard. See?
Wow.
Just like that. Now we're going to Bayshore.
Bayshore.
We were in Lindenhurst before, actually.
Free Bayshore, may I help you?
Good evening. We're calling from Radio Free Long Island, a radio program from WUSB in Stony Brook. We're calling you because you're a native Long Islander, and we want to know your opinion on the bottle bill that was just passed in Suffolk County.
Yeah, I'm for it 100%.
You are? Could you explain why?
Yeah, because I'm not from Long Island natively. I've lived elsewhere where they have the bottle bills, and it gives for a much cleaner environment.
Where have you been?
In Virginia and Maryland, Northwest, Pacific Northwest, several places.
And you think it makes a noticeable difference in the environment?
It's really the greatest.
Wow.
Well, that's very good of you then.
Okay, well, thank you for giving us your opinion. Bye-bye. Okay, so we have one indecisive and one very strong positive. I'll write that one down.
Yes, mark him down.
You know, are you aware of how many states have bottle bills apart from New York? I mean, Suffolk County?
It was in the paper the other day.
Are there a lot?
The paper, by the way, that says we're not on tonight.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently we're not supposed to be on tonight because I went and I checked the radio listings and we weren't listed.
Well,
7 weeks in a row we're listed, but today, oh no.
I guess that means something symbolic, but...
I'm going to have to take that bumper sticker off my car.
Well, yeah, we'll find out more about that. Maybe the tripods will give us...
Gourmet Corner. Try that out.
What do we have? What do we have?
I brought you a snack.
Oh, boy.
From the natural food store that you've probably never seen before in your life.
Well, I have seen a lot of natural food stores in my time.
But you've never seen this snack.
Oh, wow, they look like little raisins.
Pop one in your mouth.
They don't feel like raisins. What are these things?
Go ahead, throw one in your mouth.
Wait a second.
Eat it.
Wait a second. I have a feeling I know what these are.
No, they're not them.
They're chocolate-covered something I don't like, I'm sure. What are you trying to push on me, Mike?
Give me a couple, then I'll eat them. I'll eat them.
You don't eat anything. Oh, that's not the point.
I'm not having any
cookies. These could be chocolate-covered cockroaches.
Well, don't throw it in the bag after you manhandle it.
I don't think a natural food store would sell chocolate-covered ants, do you? Put them in for the first time. They're very crunchy. They're very big. Big corn nuts.
Crunch one on the air.
Well, that wasn't the best crunch, but...
You're not supposed to chew them with your front teeth.
How's that?
Let me try one.
Who did we just call? Like
somebody in Bayshore.
In Bayshore. There are two numbers here in Bayshore, and I don't know which one I... Oh, well, I'll cross them both out, and we'll call another one later. Okay, we're going to continue calling Long Islanders. If you want to call us and let us know your feelings on the bottle bill, or just your feelings on anything...
Like corn nuts or chocolate-covered sunflower seeds. Or even chocolate-covered extra cheese pizza.
Which we'll be trying out a little later. Give us a call, 246-7901. If you're calling from California, put a 516 in front of that.
You may have to put a 1 in front of that, too, depending on where you're calling from.
In front of the 516?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and maybe some places have to put something in front of the 1, too. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
It's not too likely. But...
Well, you could have listeners in Canada or Mexico.
Oh, sure. I picked up WUSB in Flushing, New York, the other day. In the morning.
Didn't somebody once pick up USB in Florida?
Well, yes, in fact, but it wasn't a radio that listens to radio stations. It's a radio that's meant to pick up signals, and they just picked up our signal. In other words, you could pick up an FM station from California with one of these instruments. It wasn't a radio.
Oh.
Let's put it that way. It was a receiving instrument. Well, so they tell me, anyway.
Philip Smart once told me he was walking through the streets of Jamaica, and he heard Lister's reggae program down there.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody had taped it and brought it down.
Doesn't surprise me. This is a reggae program, which can be heard from 12 to 3 every Saturday on USB.
Although it's not always Lister.
Internet. Oh, no, it's not. It's a lot of superstars.
Plus, a friend of mine from Ireland had some friends over visiting him one time from Ireland, and they were listening to Lister's program, getting into it very much. And so what he does is he tapes his programs and sends them over to Ireland. So he's definitely...
So Lister's heard in Ireland. Who knows where we're heard, you know? People could be taping us and sending us to the FBI and
more than likely.
KGB and all sorts of people who would be very interested in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I wanted to...
Witches?
...talk about the international situation a little bit. It's been quite interesting over the last few days. I've been reading The Times, the front pages and stuff, and it just seems as if we're on the brink of some sort of a major series of crises all pouring down on our heads, and East-West confrontations and presidential addresses and all that type of thing. What do you think about all that?
I think, well, the only true way we can find out the state of the world is to ask Monkey and Spokey.
Is it legal to give that information and have you a spy on the air? We should talk to Bunky and Spunky about that.
Well, those are just handy common sense tips. Designed to inform some of our listener who don't have common sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good enough. We're going to hear something from the Beatles. Well, not the Beatles, really. Just Ringo Starr. And this is when he was practicing and the other Beatles sort of left the room, and well, let's hear it.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Sounds great. Let's hear Ringo thinks.
What goes on in your heart? What goes on in your mind? You are tearing me apart when you treat me so unkind. What goes on in your mind? The other day I saw you as I walked along the road, but when I saw him with you, I could feel my future fold. It's so easy for a girl like you to lie. Tell me why. What goes on in your heart? What goes on in your mind? You are tearing me apart when you treat me so unkind. What goes on in your mind? I met you in the morning waiting for the tides of time, but now the tide is turning, I can see that I was blind. It's so easy for a girl like you to lie. Tell me why. What goes on in your heart? just the same. You didn't even think of me as someone with a name. Did you mean to break my heart and watch me die? Tell me why. What goes on in your heart? What goes on in your mind? You are tearing me apart when you treat me so unkind. What goes on in your mind? Thank you.
Well, are you going to say anything?
I'm waiting for you to say something. Who is that?
Baird Hersey, solo.
Very interesting. We heard the Beatles before that. And What Goes On, actually more of Ringo Starr than the Beatles. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
Well, I know how it happened.
Well, we
you did that, and then this, and then you flipped that switch, and you did that, and...
Well, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. But in any event, if you like the Beatles and crazy things that they do, don't forget our Magical Mystery Tour is on every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. with Arne Pritchett. It's going to be on next Wednesday, April 1st. It's a bi-weekly series. Wednesday, April 1st, 11 p.m. Only here on 90.1 FM.
Exclusively.
And you know something else that was, that came from the album, well, in the United States, that came from the album Yesterday and Today. In England, that came from the album Rubber Soul. But something curious about Yesterday and Today, is that album next year? Want to pick it up?
Somewhere around here.
You just had it in your hands a few seconds ago. Got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, look at the front cover of that album, and, last time on Magical Mystery Tour, we were talking about all the Paul is Dead things.
Well, I wasn't listening to that.
Okay, but do you see something on that picture that would indicate that Paul McCartney was dead?
Yeah, he's sitting inside a coffin.
Yeah, he's sitting in a box. It's quite interesting. They never say that one. I don't think Magical Mystery Tour even caught that. Maybe they did. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's another interesting point. Well, if you know, make a point of something, you'll find all sorts of clues leading up to it. So... wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
What is on the agenda for now?
Well, no, let me just get back to talking about print media for a little while. Before, we were talking about the National Enquirer, and I bought that tonight at a supermarket.
Did you really?
In Setauket. The one with the...
My condolences.
The one with the great huge red letters on the supermarket, but...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That's all I bought. I just walked in, because they're all at the checkout counter, you know. Mm. I just, like, threw my money down, and the woman started reading it, the checkout clerk. I said, "Lady, I got a radio show to do tonight. I don't have all this time," but I wanted to get her reaction, and she says, "They lost, you know."
Really?
Yeah. And moving along a little bit on print media...
what do we have here?
Well, this is a little letter to the editor of one of the local papers, which I'm not going to mention. Or do you think I should mention that it's the Three Village Herald?
Yeah, mention it. What the hell?
No, I don't feel like it.
Okay.
This is a letter to the editor. It says, "Dear editor, I would like to take this opportunity to publicly express my gratitude and thanks to Michael Tehan and Richard Hensley of the Suffolk County Water Authority. On March 16th, they saw my father having difficulty changing a flat tire on Route 25A. They stopped and changed the tire for him. They did not leave their names."
Wait a second.
And wait just a minute. Any money for their help.
If they didn't leave their names, how was that person able to thank them personally?
And publicly, too.
Publicly, in a public paper. Now, there's another instance of yellow journalism.
Yeah.
Saying that something happened and then totally refuting it a few lines later.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give their names, and incidentally, their names were this. something else that is of interest that a few of us discovered, and you saw it too, on the all over the walls of the State University of Stony Brook, they put these little stickers reminding you to conserve energy, and they plastered them all over the place. You can't miss them. And they say, before leaving the room, be sure and turn off the lights, close the windows, and close the door. Now, I'd like to know how you're supposed to close the door before you leave the room. Very interesting. These two people should get together. Now, while you're talking about the Three Village Herald, it's right in back of you. Can you just hand me a headline, a really dandy headline that I've just got to read to the folks. It's one of the classics, and I was thinking of sending an International Lampoon or something.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, let me have the fun of reading this one over the edge. This is really great. Okay, here we go. "President Reagan threatens to take a bite out of Three Village school lunches." I think that's one of the classic headlines of all times.
Yeah, well,
President Reagan, if you don't recall, last week went on the air nationally for 45 minutes saying how the Three Village school lunch program is a total waste of money and how he's going to cut it by at least 45%.
Oh, boy. A big bite.
I am going to cut that one out.
Are you going to send it to
President Reagan in Three Village School Lunches? I'll send it to President Reagan.
Sure.
So what else do we want to do? You have a phone number or something crazy. Do I understand that?
Yes, right? I do.
What is it?
I'm explaining.
It faster.
I'm explaining.
Time is limited.
Now, why? We got nearly 2 hours left.
Yes, but the world might end before then, and then when would we be?
Huh? I don't know. Anyhow, a couple of weeks ago in one of the Long Island newspapers, the one with lots and lots of circulation, they have bumper stickers and that kind of thing.
Excuse me.
They have bumper stickers. This kind of reminds me of all these noises, like you chewing on your corn nuts, or me chewing on my chocolate-covered sunflower seeds.
Now, I have to apologize before when
we were taping last night, and we just couldn't stop belching. Oh, I couldn't stop belching.
Well, I don't know about myself, but you certainly had a problem.
Mm.
I wanted to apologize for saying that, you know, I thought Mike was going to give me chocolate-covered ants. He's a very good chocolate-covered sunflower seeds, and I apologize for accusing you of doing that over the air, and obviously you didn't.
Yeah.
But unless, maybe to be funny, you made like 9 out of 10 of them chocolate-covered sunflower seeds, and 1 out of those 10 of chocolate-covered ants or something disgusting like that. You wouldn't do that, would you?
Have you ever had chocolate-covered ants?
No. I don't intend to.
They're apparently a real delicacy.
I don't see how eating a poor little insect who never did you any harm can be considered a delicacy.
That's true. We had an editorial about ants, saving the ants, didn't we?
A few weeks ago, I believe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's this all about?
You got me.
What's it doing in there?
I'll put it over here for now. But what is that phone number you have?
Oh, well, anyway, getting back to this. Oh, should we call the county executive at home?
No.
Okay. Hi, Pete. A couple of weeks ago... What are you shaking your head?
I'm going to get in a lot of trouble if you're talking like this.
A couple of weeks ago, in the Long Island Major Daily, had the bumper stickers on everybody's car for a while there. There was a story about an apology.
For a while, excuse me. Those bumper stickers, I'll have you know, will stay on your car for the rest of its life. They aren't coming off. I've seen people trying to pull those things off. If they stick on there, it's got like crazy glue on the back of them.
Yeah. Why can't USB have bumper stickers like that? Oh, hey, let's just say that this is WUSB Stony Brook, since we haven't said that for a while.
Okay, why not?
Okay.
Let's say it.
WUSB Stony Brook.
Very well said. What is this phone number we have?
Well, anyway, this magazine is printed an article about Apology Line, which is about a call-in number that you call up and apologize for whatever you did. And this guy just listens to you and says... Sure.
I think we should do that.
Okay.
There are a lot of things we should apologize for tonight, so...
Okay, I'll do it. You talk to the folks at home.
Okay, you call up the number. Apology Line. Where is it? In New York City?
Yes, it is.
In New York City. Well, where else would it be? They wouldn't have it any other city in the world. Which reminds me of what I was talking about a few weeks ago, of how New York City is the one place where you can get everything you want. Even a guy to listen to you apologize. You're going to apologize, Mike. I've got nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, this is Apology.
Uh-oh.
Apology is not associated with the police or any other organization.
Thank
God. But rather is a way for you to tell people what you have done wrong and how you feel about it. All statements received by Apology will be played back to the public, so please do not identify yourself. Talk for as long as you want. If you prefer a taped interview with me, leave a number. Thank you.
What should we say to him?
Oh, so this isn't a live...
I thought it was live.
Well, that's no good.
Boy. Well, should we tell him what we're doing?
Well, do you think this person will get back to us right away?
No.
You don't?
No.
Well, let's leave our phone number anyway. Maybe he will.
Well, no, because he says they're going to be played back to the public.
Oh, these are going to be played back to the public.
Yeah, these are. But wait a minute. That's what we're doing
now. Let's get through to the public. Hey, public, listen to Radio Free Long Island. It's on every Friday night at midnight, right after Stardate, on your non-commercial alternative, WUSB, in Stony Brook.
Yeah, where else? Thank you. We haven't done anything
wrong. Sorry. We're sorry for having wasted your time.
We actually wanted to talk to you personally.
Hello?
Oh, that's very good.
Oh, you're there?
Yes.
Oh. we didn't realize that there was somebody actually on the other side of that machine.
Isn't that pretty sneaky? Yeah, eavesdropping.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, we're calling from Radio Free Long Island, and
we should apologize for that.
we saw your number in Long Island Newsday.
Oh, yes, right.
And we figured we'd call up and just talk to you and ask you how the apology business is doing.
It's never been better, really.
Really?
Yes, it's really doing just great. People mm-hmm. are just calling up right and left and apologizing. What is Radio Free Long Island?
Well, we're a program devoted to the wild, insane, and whoever knows what next.
Street Shuffle, huh?
Pardon me?
In the E Street Shuffle.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, definitely.
Well, yeah, I have a lot of people calling me. Actually, there's a little, in this month's Playboy, there's a little brief article in the Playboy After Hours thing, so I've been getting a lot of calls from all over the country, and tonight I've had two men have called up, and they've apologized for getting married in the first place. So that seems to be the hot subject tonight.
Uh-huh. I could see that.
Maybe that's a reflection of the Playboy reading audience. I'm not sure.
Mm. What is the general theme of your callers? Were they apologizing for crimes or...
Well, it's split about half and half. I would say half of it, of the serious calls, I mean, a lot of people just call and joke around, you know. But of the serious stuff, I'd say half of it is people who are confessing crime. And then, for example, someone called up today from somewhere far away and said that he once said, was driving very fast and ran into a bunch of people and got away, and they never found out who it was. On the other hand, people often call up and just talk about personal problems.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Now, do you always just listen to the tape?
Well, I'm usually not even here. I just have a regular telephone answering machine.
And, right.
You know, there's a switch so you can, if I'm here, I can turn it up and listen to someone talking, but usually I'm just off doing something else, and I just listen to the tape about once a day to see what's come in and if anybody wants me to call them back about anything or whatever.
Now, how often do people want you to call them back and have a taped conversation?
Pretty frequently. I would say maybe twice a day.
Mm-hmm. And what does that entail? You send them a message somehow?
Well, what it entails is I simply call them back. If it's long distance, I have to call collect. The only way I could afford to do it.
Yeah.
And, I call up. It's sometimes hard to reach the people. For example, sometimes a child might call, and then I'll call back and get the parents, or maybe a wife will call and I'll get the husband, you know. So there are all kinds of problems in reaching people.
Sure.
Actually, as a matter of fact, after the Newsday article, I got some calls from some young people on Long Island, and I tried to call one back, and a girl called. I tried to call her back and got her mother, and she at first wouldn't accept the call, and then she called me back and was telling me how she'd been having problems with her daughter, and she sort of figured out that who I was because she'd seen the article herself, and then we talked about her problem and stuff.
Well, do you announce who you are when you call?
Yeah, I just I call collect and I say it's from apology.
Uh-huh. Oh. And do the people, they generally accept the charges, right?
As a rule, they do. Sometimes they don't. It depends. For example, I tried to call someone today who had called from Florida, and she briefly accepted the charges and then hung up. And then I guess she felt bad about it, so then she called back to the machine and explained how she really couldn't afford to do it. It's actually, of course, not all that expensive to call these days, long distance, unless it's a real long call.
True. Yeah.
But I really can't afford to do it any other way, since I finance this myself and it doesn't bring in any income.
How long have you been doing this? How did it all start?
Since late October.
Now, what inspired you to start something like this?
Well, I'm an artist, and that's one reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it as an art piece. The other reason is that most of my life I was a shoplifter and did other, you know, other sort of more prank-like things as well. And I decided it was time to sort of end that period of potentially self-destructive behavior. So I made an art piece around the act of shoplifting or crime, the whole idea of trying to get away with something but then possibly having to face serious consequences. And that was a confession for me. And then that led me to this idea, which is a confessional for society at large. I act as the in-between between the anonymous caller and the public, because I'll play these back to the public just as soon as I can arrange a space to do that in.
That's the other thing I wanted to ask you about. You say you play them back to the public. How do you do that?
Well, I do it in two ways. The primary way is that, well, right now I'm in the process of sending out proposals to various art organizations, museums, and proposal and performance spaces and that sort of thing, and I'm going to get a space and simply play them back, and anyone who's interested can come and listen to them. I mean, there's many hours of it. But then also I do radio interviews sometimes, and I'll play sample tapes over the radio at times.
That's interesting. Well, most of the radio's interviews that you do, are they in New York there, or...?
No, I do them all over the place. I've done them all over the U.S. and Canada. I've had various journalistic coverage of this, and then eventually it's led to radio coverage. For example, Zodiac News covered it, and then there's little news services that send bulletins around to radio stations about just things going on, and some of them picked up on it. So all these little faraway radio stations started to call me up, and I started to do little interviews over telephone and talk shows and that sort of
stuff.
Sounds
interesting.
It just sort of grew.
Sounds like what we're doing right now, in fact.
Exactly. Yeah. I've done probably over 100 radio things by now. I'm pretty used to it.
Yeah, we subscribed to Zodiac, but I missed you when you came through on that.
Yeah, that was some months back. Then there were some other little news services. I can't even remember. One out of San Diego and some other things.
Mm-hmm.
But it just sort of spread around.
Do you find that most of the people who call you are very suspicious?
Very what?
Suspicious of perhaps you'll... I noticed at the beginning of the recording you said that you're not affiliated with the police or anything.
Right, yes. Well, sometimes they are, and sometimes they express a lot of hostility. One interesting tape I got a long time ago, a man said, you know, who are you anyway? You know, where did you get the nerve, you know, and were you set up by the CIA or some other damn stupid organization, and so on and so forth. So sometimes people see me as an adjunct to the police and so forth. But what I'm doing really is I'm an intermediary, as I say, between the caller and the public at large. And, of course, people who call in and confess murder, rape, and other serious things, which they do call in about, they have to realize that all this is going to be played back to the public. And that's why I warn people not to identify themselves and so forth. Because, you know, there could be repercussions. But basically I'm trying to set up a communication link between people who normally wouldn't have a voice and between the public, who I think should be listening to these people, whether or not they necessarily approve of them. They should certainly hear what people have to say.
Have you ever gotten somebody who apologizing maybe for a crime he's about to commit that talking to somebody?
Of course, people occasionally call in and say that they're about to do something, and most of those, I think, a lot of those have been put-ons. I mean, they just have the sound of put-ons. On the other hand, I do get calls from criminals who say that they've done such and such, and they're continuing behavior. I mean, they say that, you know, that, for example, a mugger might call up and say, I'm not going to apologize for mugging. You know, if you were here, I'd beat you up and rob you, and you know, and so forth. And once had a call from a gold chain snatcher who said he was going to try to make some more snatches to try to build up a little nest egg for himself because he was destitute, things like that. And I've gotten calls from rapists who say they can't stop their behavior and that sort
but
of thing.
They're obviously calling for some purpose.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, someone who's doing that sort of thing must have enormous amount of confusion, internal pressure, unhappiness, and so forth. And this gives them a way to sort of vent some of that anger, I think.
Mm-hmm. What do you plan?
One of my hopes is that it might get some of that bile out of their system. Perhaps it might give them another channel besides the violent act.
What do you plan to do with the apology in the future? How long do you want to keep it up?
Well, I'm going to run this, the service that we're now talking over through the playback of the tapes. So that way people who want to react to the playback themselves can call in. And so I'll certainly run it through that. Beyond that, I'm not sure. I'll probably do other things with the material. I mean, it's adaptable to writing and other treatments like that. Some of it's pretty compelling listening, so I might make some stuff available on cassettes or something like that. But basically, the project would come to a natural end when the stuff's played back.
Right. So are you going to stay operational for...
Probably for some months yet, since these things happen slowly. I mean, Certainly, in terms of finding an art space to play them back, I mean, the season is almost over. There's no real possibility of doing it probably before next fall,
mm-hmm.
unless something just turned up. It's hard to say. I'm just now sending out proposals, so we'll see what happens, I guess.
I believe the Newsday article mentioned something that you had posted little flyers all over the place, like in subways and that kind
right,
of thing.
Yes.
And you just started getting calls all of a sudden, right?
Right, yes. It sort of it took off almost immediately. And as I say, I got a lot of coverage from journalism and radio, and because of that, I started to get a lot of calls from that service, from that direction, rather, and that, to some extent, supplanted the posters. I haven't put up posters for a while because I've been getting so many calls from other sources.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's getting a little warmer, I might put up some more posters. Although at the same time, I have to admit I'm getting a little bit nervous about postering because I've gotten a certain number of threats and so forth. So, but I'll probably put up some more posters.
Have you gotten any sort of a feedback from other individuals who might want to go in with you on the apology line and help you out, expand it or something?
No, I haven't found, no one has come forward and for example, volunteered funding and that sort of thing, which would certainly help me out. But other people have come forward with interest of using it for various purposes. For example, one journalist who wrote about it suggested that we might, for example, do an article for a women's magazine because I get a certain number of calls from women and they're very interesting, and that would be an interesting sort of side thing to do, and other uses like that.
Mm-hmm.
One man who's doing a magazine related to crime is interested in the subject, and I might put some stuff in one of his issues. So various people have come forward, and other types of people, like I've gotten calls from criminologists and other people like that who are interested in the project, just to find out what it is I'm doing.
I see. So how do the prospects look, do you think, for such a thing, having a permanent hold in New York City or anywhere else in the country?
Well, I don't know. I personally think it might be socially beneficial to set up a system along these lines, but with a faster playback. For example, it might be interesting to set up perhaps a storefront space, let's say around, you know, downtown New York, maybe mm-hmm. Times Square or something, and this thing could be set up there, not necessarily with me involved in it, and people could call in and vent their anger, and other people who are interested in, or problems, and other people who are interested just in listening to what's on people's minds could come in and hear the latest tape, or tapes could be cataloged by subject and chronology and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be a good service in a way, just to vent social pressure, so to speak.
Well, you could actually do something like that on the radio station.
Yes. Well, of course, I think a lot of radio talk shows, sort of the late night talk show things, function that way. So I think radio does serve a useful purpose, very much along those lines. There's some radio shows I know in New York City that are somewhat similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
However, once I heard a show like that, and I tried to call in, and it was virtually impossible because I guess so many people try to call when the lines open for certain shows. It would be interesting if something was set up on a more or less continual basis like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's certainly been pleasant speaking with you tonight.
Okay. I hope I didn't surprise you too much when I picked up the receiver.
No, we're glad you did.
Yeah, well, it's better than talking to machines. I have a machine on my telephone at home, and everybody gets mad when they have to talk to this stupid thing.
Well, you know, I don't know. I know it's part of living in New York City. I don't know how it is out on the island, but it's I find it pretty much essential. And when I moved up here about 3 years ago, I just got one pretty soon, and I don't know how I could do it without it.
Yeah.
Everyone is just so busy these days. I think that, in a way, was one of the things that led me to the project, too. I think they're rather interesting machines, in a way.
Yeah, they are.
Well, we wish you luck with the apology line in the future, and hope you get a lot of responses and can help a lot of people.
Okay, well, that's great. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Okay.
Okay, what city are you in, by the way?
We're in Stony Brook.
Stony Brook.
Stony Brook, right. WUSB.
Uh-huh. Is the station affiliated with the school, or?
Yes.
What school is that?
State University at Stony Brook.
Oh, I see. Great. Yes. Okay.
Well, write that down in your little memoirs there.
Okay, well, I keep a list of all the radio stations and stuff. Who is it I'm talking to?
Well, that's Mike Juhas, and...
That's Eric Corley over in the other corner.
Oh, and who was the other one? Mike who?
Juhas.
Juhas,
right.
Oh. Okay, well, it was nice talking to you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
I'm going to maintain my anonymity, so I'll tell you why.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Radio Free Long Island thanks him for talking to us for so long. Yes, the apology lines, a unique system in New York City where you call up if you want to apologize for something that you've done.
Or, right, exactly.
So,
we mentioned before that Harvey Hunter had brought in his advance copy, the tape.
Yes, we have the tape all set up, in fact, for the soundtrack of the movie that Harvey Hunter, in case you don't know, Harvey Hunter appeared in the studio a few times live. He just walked right in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. A guy on the Merv Griffin show and Dick Cavett and all that just walking into the Radio Free Long Island studios like this. And he came in and we asked him, since he's appearing in a movie and since he likes the station so much, would he give us an advanced soundtrack? And surprisingly enough, he said yes. And this week, it was delivered to us.
Right. So let's just play it.
Okay, the soundtrack to Week of the Whale.
On Radio Free Long Island.
Hello, mighty whale. Can you hear me? Can you hear me well? Hello, whale. How are you? I am fine, thank you. Can you relate to me the secret of life, Mr. Whale? Please? Huh? That is good, that is good. Tell me more, tell me more. Uh-huh. Oh, that is very, 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 very interesting, Mr. Whale. Could you possibly relate that a little bit more in detail, huh? Is it true that you understand more than any other living creature on the earth today the meaning of life? Huh? Do you have the capacity to save mankind from its inevitable graveyard? Huh? Mr. Whale, I think you will do a great service to mankind if I can only bring you into civilization. Oh, yes, you will like that so much. I am going to bring you into captivity. And you will tell mankind how to save himself. And together, we will save the world. Yeah.
Listen to the whale.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I'm told the visual effects are simply amazing. Amazing is the only word for it. Harvey Hunter, exclusive soundtrack footage of Week of the Whale, soon to be coming out to a theater near you. And I thought it was just so intense the way that he tried to relate to the whale.
Yes.
And how the whale responded to him, especially.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank Harvey Hunter for bringing that out to us. And
I wish we could show the movie on the air here.
That would be great if we could develop the technology to do that, but I don't think we can.
Well, I think it would be rather,
not this week, anyway.
Rather illegal.
That's true, too.
Well,
if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can get some more scenes later on.
Yeah.
You know,
here and
broadcast.
There.
But thanks, Harvey, and maybe, you know, hear from you again soon.
I hope so.
What's coming up?
The tripods are coming up.
The tripod family will be here within the next
half hour, right? Maybe even within
less,
the next. Maybe even within the next 45 minutes.
Maybe even within the next 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, or 15 minutes,
or 25 seconds.
Sorry. Maybe soon.
Maybe not.
Well, what do we have ready for?
Well, we have our commercials to run, you know.
Okay, let's do the commercials, get them over.
And we'll be back with some more music and all sorts of other things coming your way.
Commercials.
On Radio Free Long Island.
Deep within the Health Science Center at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, the most terrifying experiment in the history of science is out of control. Altered cats.
Wow!
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Robert Fripp here on Radio Free Long Island. They tell me that the tripods are just around the corner. Right now, though, here's some brand new Who, just for you, at 1:43. Three Village Tobacco Farms presents the Tripod Family. Join us as we follow one of America's most illustrious families as they struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. As we look in on our friends today, we see Kathy coming into the kitchen. It's a beautiful spring morning and the birds are...
Oh, what a lovely day. I think I'm going to finally start work on my garden. I've been planning it for so long. Now, let's get some seeds... Oh, good morning, Howard.
Good morning, Kathy. How's my beautiful wife feeling today?
Oh, much better. I guess that wasn't the South African flu I had last night, but just a slight head cold.
Well, that's certainly a relief. So what do we have for breakfast this morning? I'm starved.
Well, there's a box of cornflakes on the counter over there. You know, I just can't get over this beautiful weather. I was just thinking of starting my garden today.
Yes, that would be great to have a garden again. Do you remember that garden we had in Big Bear City?
Of course I do. I love that garden more than anything else in the world. That's why it took so long for me to adjust to this new climate.
I know that, Kathy. But it's all behind us now. It's time to look to the future and forget all those nasty things we left behind us in Big Bear City. Oh, good morning, Pop.
Oh, good morning, Howard. Good morning, Kathy. You two are up nice and early for a change.
Yes, I know. It's this beautiful spring weather we're having. I feel like fixing up this old house a little, and Kathy wants to work on her garden.
Oh, really? What a nice idea, Kathy. Does this mean you'll soon be tasting some of your famous homemade orange pie?
Well, Pop, oranges don't grow here on Long Island.
Why not?
The climate's not warm enough.
Well, what the devil does that have to do with it?
Well, if the weather's too cold, the orange trees die. And you know how cold it was here a few weeks ago.
But what about all the oranges in the store?
They come from California or Florida sometimes.
Do you mean to tell me that each and every single bleeding one of those oranges we buy comes from clear across the country?
That's right, Pop.
I guess when we lived in California, we never thought about those things. Everything we needed was right next door to us, it seemed. Oh, let me get that.
So you understand, Pop, that there are certain things we have to do without here on Long Island that we took for granted in California.
Well, I think it's a sin not to be able to have an orange tree growing in the backyard. Makes me feel like a communist or something.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. Why, you're up bright and early, too. Come on in and have some cornflakes with us.
Thank you. I don't mind if I do.
You can pull up a chair right next to Howard and Pop. Howard, aren't you going to say good morning to Charlie?
Oh, hi, Charlie. I didn't even see you come in. Pop and I were talking about oranges.
Yes, and the more I hear about it, the more I want to go back to California. I don't like this place.
Oh, it's not as bad as all that, Mr. Tripod. Long Island can be a fun place to live, if you give it a chance.
Charlie's right, Pop, and besides, we couldn't go back to California even if we wanted to because of... Well, you know.
Kathy, please, let's not bring that up again. We've been through it 1,000 times already.
Yeah, I agree, dear. Let's talk about something else. How's your car running, Charlie?
Oh, pretty good. I had to adjust the catalytic converter to make way for the rack and pinion steering and the turbo hydraulic rear speaker. I'll probably have to move the automatic transmission somewhere later today.
Well, maybe someday we'll get to see that car move out of your driveway without anybody shoving it.
Yes, according to the neighbors, it's been there almost 4 years now.
For the life of me, I can't figure out why you bought a Bulgarian car in the first place, Charlie.
I'd just like to be different, I guess. But I'm going to make back all the money I've spent on this car as soon as I start driving it.
How are you going to do that, Charlie?
Well, I figured out a place to put my Long Island Loves Newsday sticker so that it'll be spotted right away.
Where's that?
Well, I'm surprised nobody ever thought of it before. But I figure if I put my sticker right over my back license plate, it'll stand out like a sore thumb and I'll win the jackpot.
That does sound like a good idea, Charlie.
Yes, it sounds like you put a lot of thought into that one, Charlie.
Oh, no license plate, hmm?
Well, don't you go doing it now. I'll never win this thing if everyone knows the secret.
Oh, don't worry about that, Charlie. We don't even read Newsday. We still get the Los Angeles Trib every day.
Yes, and that reminds me. The delivery boy's been throwing it into the bushes again. I'm going to have to speak to him.
Well, don't be too hard on him, dear. Remember, it's a long bike ride.
Well, I'd better be getting back to work. And, oh, I almost forgot why I came over here in the first place. The postman accidentally put your mail in my mailbox. So this letter belongs to you, Kathy.
That looks like a California postmark on that envelope.
Why, Kathy, you look pale.
And so, as the spring sun beams down on Long Island, a cloud seems to have passed over Kathy. Be with us next time when we'll hear Pop say,
"Doggone it all, why do you people have to be so damn melodramatic?"
That's next time on The Tripod Family, presented in conjunction with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Beat and Sparks on WUSB Stony Brook, Radio Free Long Island.
Separated out of action. here to give you tips on how to lose weight.
First of all, you have to know all about proper nutrition. Don't plan your meals based on the mistaken belief that the four basic food groups are pizza, ice cream, cupcakes, and cookies.
If you've been using a steam shovel to convey food to your mouth, use a fork instead. You'll consume less and your arm will get exercise to boot.
If you feel you must go to a diet doctor, be extra careful. Our poor friend Junkie's been on diet pills for years now. He talks too fast to understand and only weighs 25 pounds.
Some people don't know when to go on a diet. If folks shout earthquake when you walk into a room, that's one way to tell. If you have to put a new set of screens in your car every week, that's another. If people are constantly mistaking you for Orson Welles, that's a sure tip-off.
Now, behavior modification is a swell technique to help you shed those pounds. But don't have your buddies hit you over the head with a hammer whenever you eat. Try a cattle prod instead. It's safer.
And if all else fails, you can start a new career as a fat person in the circus. So until next time, this is Spunky.
And Spunky reminding you.
Don't eat blasting caps.
Perish the thought. Eating blasting caps. Now, thank you, Bunky and Spunky and Radio Free Long Island, for giving us all those helpful hints on how to stay nice and lean and keep away from all that garbage food. And I guess it's kind of appropriate that we play you those hints now, because Mike Juhas is downstairs currently getting a pizza. We'll certainly have something to tell him when he gets back. 6 minutes after 2 o'clock, and of course you are on WUSB Stony Brook Radio Free Long Island. We'll be doing all sorts of crazy things up to the hour of 3 o'clock, which time Mr. Captain Kirk will be coming your way. We were calling up some Long Islanders, asking them what they felt about the bottle bill. We got one very positive response and one kind of, I can see the good points and I can see the bad points, so we'll call that a maybe. No negative responses so far, but we are going to try calling some more people. In fact, we'll do that right now. We talked to somebody in Lindenhurst, and we also talked to somebody in Bayshore. So right now we're going to go over to beautiful Brentwood, Long Island, and find out what people think over there about the new bottle bill in Suffolk County, New York.
Good morning, Bill. Jack of the Fox, please listen.
Yes, we're calling from Radio Free Long Island. We're a radio program on WUSB Stony Brook. We're calling to ask you, a native Long Islander, what do you think of the new bottle bill that was just passed in Suffolk County?
Who is that?
We're calling to
the
ask...
The bottle bill?
Yes. What are you...
Are you for real? It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's 2:08 in the morning, actually, and you're on the air.
We're on the air?
Uh-huh. We want to know your feelings on the bottle bill. Sometimes it takes a while to think about how you really feel about an issue. We can understand that. Sometimes you have to confer with other people and find out where your sentiments really lie. This person is doing that. This person is also taking apart the phone, it sounds like.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
We're calling from Radio Free Long Island. We're a radio program on the air, WUSB. We'd like to know your feelings on the bottle bill in Suffolk County.
What's the name of the radio station?
Excuse me? Okay, well, that can be defined as some sort of an opinion. We'll have to make a fourth category. Plus, minus, wavering, and indifferent, let's put it. Okay, let's try somebody else. That's Brentwood for you. What can we say, you know? Okay, what town should we go to next? How about Lake Ronkonkoma? Yeah, Lake Ronkonkoma has always been a nice place to go down to and talk to people. And people in Lake Ronkonkoma have always been known for their opinions, as far as I know. Let's see what we can find out here.
The number you have reached...
Whoops, okay, we don't want to reveal that. Why don't we...
Why don't we take a close look at the weather and hope Mike comes back with the pizza any second now and maybe help us out a little bit here. 40 degrees outside right now. We're expecting it to get down into the 30s. It'll be mostly sunny, mild tomorrow, high near 60. Lower along the shore, fair tomorrow night, lower in the 40s. Here's Mike with the pizza, and he walks in the door. Mike, we just called somebody in, you're not going to believe this, in Brentwood. And they hung up on us.
Really?
Well, they talked for about 20 seconds to somebody else in the place, and they couldn't seem to make up their minds. They thought that we were faking or something. Then they just hung up the phone, so I have to make a... another category, and as soon as I can find my pen...
I'm going to order pizza from this place. I'm going to go on record as saying that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did they cheat us?
I'll explain to you privately later.
Okay. Well, I can tell you one thing. The place I just called up, I know what kind of a place that is, and I'm never going to go to one of those places
again.
What
is it, a house of ill repute?
You could put it that way.
Is my microphone?
Many people yes, your microphone is on. Many people have gone to those places at, you know, late hours in the morning and come out feeling a lot worse than when they went in.
Uh-huh.
I just want to put that on the record here. So we're going to put another symbol there. We just called another place in Brentwood.
Well, you can tell me later. Our listeners have already heard this.
We called Lake Ronkonkoma, and the number was changed or something. I didn't let the message play through because you don't want to give out any numbers.
That's correct.
Why don't we go to our good old friends in Center Reach and find out what they feel?
All I want to eat is this damn pizza. It's getting cold.
So it will get cold. That's the way life was meant to be. It's going to get cold one way or the other.
Well, okay.
Let's give one call to Center Reach. See if we can find somebody who has his head on straight at this time in the morning. If they can think about the bottle bill, if they want to give us their opinion on it. It would make us so happy here. Here we go.
Can I help you?
Yes, we're calling from Radio Free Long Island. We're a radio program on WUSB in Stony Brook. And we're calling you because you're a native Long Islander. We want to ask you how you feel about the bottle bill that was just passed in Suffolk County.
Great.
You think it's great?
Sure, why not?
What makes you think it's great?
Whatever you're into, you know. I think it's, you know...
Oh, boy. What do you see as the possible advantages to such a bill?
To the bill?
Excuse me?
To the what?
What do you see as the advantages to this, to a bill of this sort?
Do you currently buy your
beverages in non-returnable containers?
Yes.
And, well, you know, that's going to come to a screeching halt once this thing is signed by the county executive.
I really can't talk amongst those customers, you know.
Okay, we can understand that, but,
Well, thank you very much for calling, then.
Thank you, bye.
Oh, boy. Well, that person called you, Mike.
Yes.
Okay, so we have two positive responses here. No negative responses, one indifferent, and one who cares.
Who cares?
I guess that's what we can say. Why don't we go to something else? We'll call some more people in a little while and get some more maybe intelligent responses. Who knows? I'm going to play something from this Yes Nukes LP.
What are you going to play?
Well, let's hold the record up over here and see what we have to choose from. We have a band called The Pop, The Twisters, Cliché, New Cats, Naughty Sweeties, Bakersfield Boogie Boys.
Yeah, play them. The Bakersfield Boogie Boys.
Okay, let's put the needle down. And this is a song called I Get Around. Well, that was another song, but this is a song called I Get Around.
Real professional here.
Up and down the same old strip. I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip. My buddies and me are getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around. I'm a real cool head. I'm making real good bread.
because it's never been beat. And we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. None of the guys go steady, because it wouldn't be right to leave the best girl home on a Saturday night. I get right.
Sit down over here.
Well, thank you.
Well, folks, we have another guest with us right now. His name is Orville Nine, and I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, where did you get that name?
You know, a lot of people ask me that because they think my name's written like a number, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's spelled N-Y-N-E, actually.
Oh, I see.
It's an old Norwegian name.
Oh, how about that? Well, Mr. Nunn, by the way, was born and raised in Binsburg, Idaho, and that's where you live today, too, isn't that right?
Yep.
Well, what brings you out to Stony Brook?
Oh, I don't know. Things just get kind of dull sometimes over in Binsburg. So one day I just threw a dart at a map and it landed at Stony Brook. Here I am.
So you are. You know, the reason I asked you up to the studios is because you look so unusual and different walking around the lobby downstairs with all that lumberjack equipment. You wouldn't happen to be a lumberjack by any chance.
Well, yeah, actually I am. I've been a lumberjack for about 35 years, in fact. I guess I should... Since I've been a lumberjack for so long, I guess I kind of forgot to take all the stuff off when I got on an aeroplane.
That must have caused quite a commotion.
Yeah, I was wondering why no one would sit next to me.
As a lumberjack in Idaho, you must have seen a heck of a lot of wildlife. Did you ever get approached by a grizzly bear or a mountain lion?
Well, no, I can't say I did.
How about a whooping crane or a rattlesnake? Or,
No, I don't see any of these. Never seen any of them. I saw a dog once. I think it was a Great Dane or something.
Wait a minute. These are the forests of Idaho we're talking about now. Surely you must see some forms of wildlife.
Well, this was a really big dog. I've never seen anything like him before in my life.
Okay. It's clear that the Idaho you've been wandering around in all your life is sort of uncharted territory, let's say. I'm going to have you personally escorted back downstairs so you can keep on walking in circles in your lumberjack attire and do whatever else comes to mind.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I'm sorry, you'd have to call back Monday morning at about 9 o'clock and talk to either Mr. Jolene or Dr. Madonna.
Okay, good then.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Right on.
Bye.
Well, you could get in trouble someday, really. I mean, doing it to police officers. How do they know that what we were talking about could wait till Monday morning?
Why don't you call back?
Well, I don't think it's appropriate.
Do you think our civil liberties were violated?
Well, certainly our pizza liberties were, and we should do something about it.
Why don't we file some sort of a
complaint. Having pizza delivery interfered with is a federal offense, I understand.
Well, in what country?
Because the pizza chain that we ordered from is a national company.
Uh-huh.
So they were
interfering in interstate commerce.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
The extra cheese we ordered does not come from this state. It comes from, I believe, Colorado.
No, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
It's
one of those states out there.
Dairy state.
So that's interstate commerce right there. Federal authorities have...
I bet you there's nobody listening right now.
Well, if there were, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
If they were, they'd give us a call just to tell us that they're listening.
But as long as no one's listening, why don't
we just play some music?
No, why don't we call some more people and find out what they think about the bottle bill?
Oh, so then don't call us because we'll call
exactly.
You.
Exactly. That's,
okay, we just called
that way we get to talk to somebody.
Okay, and now let's call Oakdale. Okay.
Oakdale, what a great idea. Is that to the east or to the west?
That's to the south.
Oh. That solves that problem. We're going to Oakdale to find out how they feel about the almost passed bottle bill in Suffolk County. So far we have a positive reaction, a wishy-washy reaction, and a what-the-hell reaction. No negative reactions.
Not as yet.
I'm sorry, the shop is closed at this time. For emergency service, please call...
No. Don't want that. They say they're 24 hours a day and you get a recording. That's not nice.
Well.
Try another one.
Another one? That's just the grocery store then.
Well, yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Not home.
Try them. I think that'll be a good place to call because they won't be too busy.
Well, you never know. It's chic to be grocery shopping at 227.
It is. It's quite an experience, too.
Really?
A lot of crazy things happen at that time.
Oops.
Don't happen any other time.
Yes. Ya-da-da-da. Ya-da-da-da. Well, say something, man. I mean, you know.
What time is it, anyway? I can't see the clock from here. 26, is it?
27,
I'm sorry.
Okay. This is a grocery store we're calling.
So
it's selected at random by...
You can tell by the ring, it's a grocery store. You can.
Hello?
See?
Hello, good morning. We're calling from Radio Free Long Island. It's a program on WUSB in Stony Brook. And we'd like to ask you, or the manager of your beverage department, what you feel on the passage of the bottle bill in Suffolk County. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello?
Yeah, who is this?
My name is Mike Uhas. I'm calling from Radio Free Long Island on WUSB.
Yeah, what can I win?
Actually, we're not giving anything away. We're asking for your opinions.
All right, go ahead.
I just asked you, what are your reactions to the passage of the controversial bottle bill in Suffolk County?
Bottle bill?
That's right.
You called the right place. This is Pathmark.
Yes, I know.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
We want to, I can't speak for the management here.
Well,
speak for yourself.
What's your personal opinion on that? Do you think it's good for the environment or bad for business or?
No, it's great for the environment.
Uh huh.
I think it's great for the environment.
Okay.
Okay.
So then you're overwhelmingly in favor of.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Well then, what are the most of the people who happen to be in the store feel right now?
I don't think they're going to be too happy about it, though.
Oh.
They got to handle them.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For sharing that with us. He's going to realize 20 seconds from now, I didn't call those people. Boy. That seems to be the prevailing feeling. Yeah, why not? You know?
Yeah, so should I mark him down in the plus column?
Yeah, plus, but not a very strong plus.
Okay. Now what do we do?
Well, I say we compile a new batch of phone numbers, maybe some more alive ones.
How about next week?
Well, a few more this week, maybe some more next week, too.
Oh, okay, we just called that person. Did you call this number way up at the top of your list?
No, I did not, in fact.
Boy, you know, that's a long distance away.
It is,
but it's close to Connecticut.
It's Long Island. It's Suffolk County.
It, in fact, is. So...
Well, go ahead and call the bloody number.
I'll call the bloody number.
Where is this again?
This one's in Greenport.
Greenport, oh boy, beautiful country out there.
Sounds far away. Yeah. Good morning. I'm calling from Radio Free Long Island. It's a program on WUSB from Stony Brook, and we'd like to talk to you, if you have a moment, on the passage of Suffolk County's bottle bill. How do you feel on the effects of this? What do you think the effects will be, and are you in favor or are you against the bottle bill?
Against it.
And can I have your reasons why?
It's against the people mostly because it all does raise the price of everything.
Yes, but aren't you refunded your 5 cents when you bring your bottle back?
Yeah, but the people got to pay more for the stuff. The price getting up on each per item.
And why is that?
Because the beer distributor raises the price because they have to give a refund.
Oh, so the prices go up even though they're getting the nickel back.
Oh, the prices go way up. And then we have to charge for storage too because we have to build the space to have storage.
Ah.
Actually, all the costs come out of the customer's pocket.
I see. But isn't the consumer actually paying for a cleaner environment this way?
Not really, because, you know, people go to the doctor's going to be the people, you know, that want some money for the bottles.
I see.
Well, there are some states that have a bottle bill now, such as Oregon, Virginia, I believe Maine, too.
Connecticut.
And Connecticut as well. The price hasn't gone up, certainly not dramatically, if at all. How do you explain that?
We have gone to fake it. I can only tell you what the companies have told us, the companies and the beer companies.
Oh, the companies are the ones telling you this?
Yeah.
Have you seen it actually happen, though?
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because the bill isn't in effect. It's not even a law yet.
No.
Uh-huh. Okay, then. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that's a negative reaction. But
yeah, we marked him down in the minus column.
But it's interesting. You notice how he said that's what the companies say, and he's right, if I may editorialize it a little bit, that the companies have been spreading a lot of word around about how bad this bill would be if it passes, about how the prices will go up, about how everybody's going to be miserable, and it's not really going to help anything. But as I mentioned, in other states, that has not really happened. So it's up to debate, really. That's all I have to say.
You're trying to make me talk with my mouth full.
Yeah, well, why don't we go to something else?
If you're a lover of horror films, a new film titled Maniac is sure to provide the ultimate satisfaction for even the most hardened fans of horrific gore. The title role is played by Joe Spinell, who is also Maniac's executive producer and co-writer. Joe Spinell's credits include Taxi Driver, Rocky and Rocky II, both Godfather Pictures, and 13 other films. For Campus Close-Up, this is Glenn Toronto with Joe Spinell in New York. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Glenn. As you do here.
Tell us, what's Maniac about?
Maniac is about the daily newspapers. About a guy going around killing women because he's been abused by his mother. I think this is something unique in the special effects and interesting story released by Analysis Films, which were daring enough to take on the film. A lot of companies didn't want to take it on. They wanted to make it an R, and I don't think we have any rating on the film, and yet they're going to play it like Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead was a gruesome film with a lot of bloody violent effects, and I understand that Maniac was even earlier.
Oh, no!
So it seems that you're trying to attract the same kind of audience. Is this true?
Yeah, because we believe that the people who see these movies, young people, see Dawn of the Dead and other horror movies, Texas Chainsaw, don't look upon it as graphically, as realistically, as a lot of older people do.
Now, many pictures you've been in contain violence, but what's a nice guy like you making a horror picture for? Or have you always wanted to make a picture like this?
Well, I was never interested in making horror movies, but I did see a lot of them, and I was doing a film with Phil Lessig, which I wanted to do with the next film, and nobody would buy it. So we did this low-budget movie called Maniac, and it took a lot of purpose.
I understand that you came up with a story and also are the co-writer of the screenplay. So how did you come up with the idea for this film?
The basis for the story was I once read a story called Slay Ride about a father and son killing someone in New Jersey a long time ago. So I figured to do a vehicle for myself and make it low budget and try to make some money. So I knew about guys like Ted Bundy, Jeff Fleischer, you know, Berkowitz, and did a lot of research on them, and that's how I came up with it.
After you've completed this film, what's next for you?
I think I'm going to do a movie called Joey Kills, which is about a mafia hitman, a book by Gary Fisher, wrote five of them. And then I'm going to do a movie with Gil on the Dollar Street with Al Monsanto.
Lots of luck with that.
Thank you.
With Maniac star Joe Spinell, this is Glenn Toronto for Campus Close-Up in New York.
Recently, asking what happened to all those old songs. So just for you tonight, we're winding the clock up and playing them for it.
Just like how you're really through, you better.
Are you a have or a have not? Because if you're a have not, you've probably had it. Whereas if you're a have, you've probably got it and are going to give it away at some time in the future.
I've been asked by the folks at Radio Free Long Island to come down and speak to you tonight on proper radio procedure and how you should be absolutely calm and control and know exactly how to act while you're on the radio. Because there are many folks who desire a career in the broadcast industry. Now, well, good evening. My name's Bill Thompson, and I'm a consultant from Scarsdale. And actually, I haven't lived there all my life, but I do work from time to time. I do work for one of the nation's largest broadcast schools. And, well, there are many different ways you can become a radio announcer or television announcer or anything that we're going to talk about tonight. You can apply to any other thing like public speaking or that kind of thing. Now the important thing here is you got to maintain an even keel, and you got to know exactly. You got to speak in calm and measured tones and that kind of thing. And now remember, relax. That's all you have to do. And don't eat while you're talking on the microphone. Now remember, you should also watch your step and be very quiet. Be very quiet and that you don't make any noises in the background while you're actually talking on the radio. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, one of the things we strive to teach you at our famous broadcasting school is how exactly to introduce music. Now, if I can just find a record. Over here. Oh, get me the doctor or something. I don't know. I got a gargle or something. Excuse me. Now, we got to get a record here. We have to know how to put it on the turntable and start it rolling without the audience knowing what's going on in the radio station. Now, this is exactly what we do. See, now notice how that started exactly when I started to talk. Now, you got to keep talking until the vocal starts, or else the entire concept, the entire thing will be ruined. So just keep on talking until she starts singing. Oops. Well, we didn't need you anyway. Get me to the hospital. Goodbye. Thank you. Good night. How do you turn this microphone off? Over here.
I'm certainly glad we got somebody to come down here and straighten some people out as to operate things. And
sure.
I think he helped quite a bit.
Somewhat.
Where's he from? Scarsdale, huh?
Yeah.
Tomorrow we have to Scarsdale to help us.
Just to help us out.
Great.
We want to take him to University Hospital.
I thought somebody already did.
Oh.
Well, he's gone now, anyway.
Well, he was only
out
on
the door as quick as he came in.
He was only on tape. You're a munching guy.
Well, these chocolate-covered ants, or whatever they are, really, I guess they're, what, sesame seeds? Or
sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds. They're really pretty good.
I guess we should mention that we have had some people call up and voice their disapproval with the bottle.
Approval and disapproval. I'd say it's pretty much tied.
Yeah, 50-50, yeah. Well, I spoke to... Well, no, you spoke to the guy who disapproved, but...
Mm. I'd say...
there's more than one guy who called, but...
judging from the outgoing calls we've made and the incoming calls that have come in about...
Incoming calls that have come in. Very good. Very good.
I'd say 64-65% have been in favor of the
I never knew you were a mathematician.
Well, no, I have a little handy calculator next to me.
Does it beep when you press the buttons?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh. Hey, you know, Captain Kirk's going to be coming in shortly.
Yeah, Captain will be in here very, very soon. He's probably on his way over
here. Before
then,
you can say Captain Kirk in every language in the world. He'll be here.
Okay. Sounds reasonable. We have, what, one more person to call up and ask them what they feel about the bottle bill, and then we'll be all done with this once and for all, and it'll be signed into law, and there won't be anything we can do about it anymore.
Are you sure about that now?
Well, I hope so.
Oh.
Where's this person we're going to be calling?
This guy is in Smithtown.
Smithtown, huh?
Mm-hmm. So talk while I'm dialing this phone.
Well, who are we calling? An exterminator? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
How would an exterminator view aluminum cans and bottles?
Aluminum bottles.
Should be an interesting reaction.
I'll say.
Oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope we're not waking this guy up.
He says call 24 hours a day. That's what we're doing.
Next exterminating.
Yes, good morning. We're calling from Radio Free Long Island. It's a talk show on WUSB in Stony Brook. And we'd like to know your, we just selected your phone number at random. We'd like to know your opinions on the controversial bottle bill that had been passed by the Suffolk County Legislature this week.
Oh, I don't know, so I'm only an answering service.
Oh, well, you're our favorite kind of people. We've spoken to answering services before.
Have?
Yes, we have. We've spoke to, what was it, last week we called up some answering service in the city.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk to a locksmith, but we got the answering service. But the lady on in the answering service there did clue us in on some very important things, and you must be, you can't be without feelings yourself.
Pardon?
Maybe
you can't be without feelings yourself on the effects of the bottle bill on the environment and on prices and that kind of thing. Did you know that the bottle bill was passed in Suffolk County this week?
No.
Oh, I see. Well, by a 12-6 majority, I believe, the Suffolk County Legislature enacted they passed a bottle bill, and now it's going to have to go to Peter Cohallen for his signature to become law. Now, this is going to require bottles, soda bottles, cans, beer bottles, cans, that kind of thing, are all going to have deposits on them if it's, in fact, enacted by the county executive. And, similar to laws in Connecticut and New Hampshire and, well, many New England states and Oregon and Virginia, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, well, so you hadn't been aware of that, but,
Well, now that you are aware of it...
Now that you are aware of it, what do you... how are your feelings on the subject?
Oh, I don't know what to say. I can't give you an answer right now.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, then maybe we may call you back next week once you have a chance to think about it then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much then.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
I mean, after explaining all of that to that person, she still couldn't give us an opinion. I find that...
Well, what should I mark her? You have four columns here. One's a question.
Well, you better make a fifth one because this person was just totally unaware of what was going on. Why don't you hand me that book and I'll find. We have to have one more logical person to talk to. This is presenting a very bad picture of Long Island.
Let's call up A1A Logic Service.
People are functionally illiterate, it seems, out here.
I love the noise the telephone book makes when you turn the pages.
Okay. It's a wall cleaning and fire restoration corporation. And hopefully it's not hooked up to the same answering service. With our luck, it probably is.
It could be. Now, these are the type of people who clean walls and
now, where fires. Is that again?
Now, this one is in apparently Patchogue.
Oh, Patchogue. Well, that's a town we've neglected tonight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things go on in Patchogue. They have ideas down there. They think about things. They talk openly in the streets. They won't be afraid to let us know how they really feel about the bottle bill.
Right.
Will they?
No.
The phone is ringing in Patchogue. New York.
Mm-hmm. A 24-hour number, 7 days a week.
Sorry, Liner.
Good morning. We're calling from Radio Free Long Island, a radio telephone talk show in Stony Brook, New York, from WUSB. And we'd like to ask you your personal opinion on the passage of the Suffolk County
legislature's passage of the bottle return bill.
I'm very happy about it.
You are. How long have you lived in Suffolk County?
How long?
Yeah.
Oh, about 20 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly.
And so, why? What are your reasons for your feelings?
Well, we live on a through street where there are a lot of teenagers, and there's always bottles all over the street.
I see.
And you think this will help?
And hopefully, if it costs them a little bit more, maybe they'll bring them back, or somebody else will for them.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I used to go around construction sites and pick up old Coke bottles and take them down and get my dime back, or, well, no, it was like 2 cents back then. But that may be an industry in itself, little kids just keeping out of trouble by actually picking up bottles and taking them down for the deposit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Are you the actual people involved in this business, or are you just...
No, you have an answering service. There's no one in at this time of night.
I see. We like talking to answering services. We've spoken to many of them before.
Oh.
We try to call up businesses and that kind of thing at random, and we usually end up with answering services.
At this hour of the night, yes.
Exactly. Okay, well then, thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome, sir. Bye.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wow. Let's chalk that one up as a positive response, and I guess we'll call it a night. Long Island seems to favor a bottle bill.
Right.
At least Suffolk County does. Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, that's
Radio Free Long Island is finished for now.
Captain
Kirk's being with us.
Waiting in the wings. He's slapping his wings in the background.
Okay, let's let Captain Kirk come in here now, and we'll see you next week at midnight on a Friday or Saturday morning,
actually. And I'll be in tomorrow night and tomorrow night.
I'll be in twice tomorrow night.
I'm doing two shows tomorrow
night. Busy man, Mike Elias.
I'm giving away some albums, apparently. According to this thing up here. Ooh, that's what this thing says.
Well, let's let that thing say that after we say our social goodbyes and all
right,
that.
Yeah.
And, hey, we had fun tonight. We talked to an apology line. We listened to had some guests up here.
We
heard from Harvey Hunter.
Yeah.
Tripods made their debut, nationwide debut, I believe.
And we even had a controversy surrounding the delivery of our pizza.
That's right. The pizza scandal. We'll hear more about that next week.
Well, I brought these little snacks. We didn't really...
Oh, yes, and there was chocolate-covered somethings and nuts and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have them now.
Yes.
Captain Kirk comes in.
Right.
Well, Mike, I'll be back next week, and I'll see you then, I guess.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming. Bye.
I'll talk to you next time.
I'm Mike Juhas. Be listening to 90.1 FM this Saturday night as we present an hour-long special on the music of Chris Williamson. Strange Paradise. That's a look into the music of Chris Williamson, Saturday night at 11 on WUSB, Stony Brook.